The LifeSpring Family Bible is brought to you by me. Since producing this one-year audio journey through the world's most important book, I've become a full-time voiceover artist. For more information, I invite you to click on over to my voiceover website at theguywiththefriendlyvoice.com. Hi, and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. This is episode number 215. I'm Steve Webb, your host. Today we'll be reading Job chapters 33 through 35. Today the young man Elihu, the one who's chomping at the bits to say something, gets his chance. Let's begin. Job chapter 33. But now, O Job, listen to my words, and hear everything I have to say. See now, I have opened my mouth. My tongue and my mouth has spoken. My words come from the uprightness of my heart, and my lips will utter knowledge sincerely. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Reply to me if you can. Set your arguments in order before me, and take your stand. Look, I am just like you in relation to God. I too have been molded from clay. Therefore, no fear of me should terrify you, nor should my pressure be heavy on you. Indeed, you have said in my hearing, I heard the sound of the words, I am pure without transgression, I am clean and have no iniquity. Yet God finds occasions with me. He regards me as his enemy. He puts my feet in shackles. He watches closely all my paths. Now in this you are not right. I answer you, for God is greater than a human being. Why do you contend against him, that he does not answer all a person's words? For God speaks the first time in one way, the second time in another, though a person does not perceive it. In a dream, a night vision, when deep sleep falls on people as they sleep on their beds. Then he gives a revelation to people and terrifies them with warnings, to turn a person from his sin and to cover a person's pride. He spares a person's life from corruption, his very life from crossing over the river. Or a person is chastened by pain on his bed, and with a continual strife of his bones, so that his life loathes food, and his soul rejects appetizing fare. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones which were not seen are easily visible. He draws near to the face of corruption, and his life to the messengers of death. If there is an angel beside him, one mediator out of a thousand, to tell a person what constitutes his uprightness, and if God is gracious to him and says, spare him from going down to the place of corruption, I have found a ransom for him, then his flesh is restored like a youth's. He returns to the days of his youthful vigor. He entreats God, and God delights in him. He sees God's face with rejoicing, and God restores to him his righteousness. That person sings to others, saying, I have sinned and falsified what is right, but I was not punished according to what I deserved. He redeemed my life from going down to the place of corruption, and my life sees the light. Indeed, God does all these things, twice, three times in his dealings with a person, to turn back his life from the place of corruption, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. Pay attention, Job, listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have any words, reply to me. Speak, for I want to justify you. If not, you listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom. Job chapter 34. Elihu answered, Listen to my words, you wise men. Hear me, you learned men. For the ear assesses words as the mouth tastes food. Let us evaluate for ourselves what is right. Let us come to know among ourselves what is good. For Job says, I am innocent, but God turns away my right. Concerning my right, should I lie? My wound is incurable, although I am without transgression. What man is like Job who drinks derision like water? He goes about in company with evildoers. He goes along with wicked men. For he says, it does not profit a man when he makes his delight with God. Therefore listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, from the Almighty to do evil. For he repays a person for his work, and according to the conduct of a person, he causes the consequences to find him. Indeed, in truth, God does not act wickedly, and the Almighty does not pervert justice. Who entrusted to him the earth, and who put him over the whole world? If God were to set his heart on it, and gather in his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and human beings would return to dust. If you have understanding, listen to this. Hear what I have to say. Do you really think that one who hates justice can govern? And will you declare guilty the supremely righteous one who says to a king, worthless man, and to nobles, wicked men? who shows no partiality to princes and does not take note of the rich more than the poor, because all of them are the work of his hands? In a moment they die. In the middle of the night, people are shaken and they pass away. The mighty are removed effortlessly, for his eyes are on the ways of an individual. He observes all a person's steps. There is no darkness and no deep darkness where evildoers can hide themselves. For he does not still consider a person that he should come before God in judgment. He shatters the great without inquiry and sets up others in their place. Therefore, he knows their deeds. He overthrows them in the night and they are crushed. He strikes them for their wickedness in a place where people can see, because they have turned away from following him and have not understood any of his ways, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come before him, so that he hears the cry of the needy. But if God is quiet, who can condemn him? If he hides his face, then who can see him? Yet he is over the individual and the nation alike, so that the godless man should not rule and not lay snares for the people. Has anyone said to God, I have endured chastisement, but I will not act wrongly anymore? Teach me what I cannot see. If I have done evil, I will do so no more. Is it your opinion that God should recompense it because you reject this? But you must choose, and not I, so tell us what you know. Men of understanding say to me, any wise man listening to me says that Job speaks without knowledge and his words are without understanding. But Job will be tested to the end, because his answers are like those of wicked men, for he adds transgression to his sin. In our midst he claps his hands and multiplies his words against God. Job chapter 35. Then Elihu answered, do you think this is to be just, when you say, my right before God? But you say, what will it profit you, and what do I gain by not sinning? I will reply to you and to your friends with you. Gaze at the heavens and see. Consider the clouds which are higher than you. If you sin, how does it affect God? If your transgressions are many, what does it do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give to God? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects only a person like yourself, and your righteousness only other people. People cry out because of the excess of oppression. They cry out for help because of the power of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my creator, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the wild animals of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the sky? Then they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the arrogance of the wicked. Surely it is an empty cry. God does not hear it. The Almighty does not take notice of it. How much less then, when you say that you do not perceive him, that the case is before him and you are waiting for him? And further, when you say that his anger does not punish and that he does not know transgression. So Job opens his mouth to no purpose. Without knowledge, he multiplies words. Well, because of the constraints of time, we must leave Elihu in the middle of his speeches. What do you think so far? What do you think of his points? To boil it all down in the final seconds here of the show, I have to say that I'm not sure there's a big difference between what Elihu is saying and what Job's other friends said. He's basically saying that God is righteous, which is true, and then he says, and any man who contends that he is righteous is sinning. What do you think about that? Well, come on back tomorrow for the end of Elihu's speech and the beginning of God's response. And what an awesome response it is. You'll not want to miss it. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb.
This show's been brought to you by Steve Webb, the guy with the friendly voice.com. Check it out.